Good morning, and if you just tuned in or you tuned in all the way from the Holiday Nuggets, welcome to Eagle FM. And actually, if you tuned in already now, thank you for welcoming me. But if you just tuned in, now I can welcome you. We have 26 minutes to the hour of 8 this wonderful morning. As always, you are listening to Helmut on Eagle FM, and this is the Time Machine, where we just combine history and comedy to prove a point, especially the history part. And today we are in the Horn of Africa. That's where we find ourselves. Now, for those of you that have not been following geopolitics, then you know that the Israelis stayed up some very touchy border situations in the Horn of Africa, and right now we are all in the middle of talking about that. And as always, I swear, I really, really love history. As always, there's always a story behind it. There's always a story behind it that goes far beyond what's happening now. Because that's what a lot of people, especially mainstream media, really focus on. Just, okay, what's going on now? What is this person thinking? What is that person saying? And then they call in analysts who are more often have already picked a side before they even before they are brought in for these interviews. If you really want to enjoy geopolitics, you always have to go to the beginning, in the beningini. But before we beningi today's time machine show, how about we just look at some of the things that are taking place on the African continent that are less depressing than Donald Trump authorizes an airstrike in northern Nigeria to clamp down on ISIS. Is it ISIS or ISIL, a terrorist, only to find out that those terrorists are not operating in that region, and everyone is like, why did you say you dropped a bomb in that part of the country again? And as you can imagine, as you'd expect, basically, people both in Nigeria and outside of Nigeria are divided on whether or not they're dropping bombs on dropping bombs on civilians, basically, on Christmas Day was a brilliant idea. So, where do we start? Morocco, AFCON. Hey! This whole, AFCON thing is where a lot of people are also divided, because there are more memes than soccer statistics coming out of Morocco with regards to AFCON right now. And these memes are getting a little too much, guys. To the point where I don't think there are a lot of people that are even focusing on soccer anymore. We're all focused on, okay, when does the cameraman, pan the camera to a group of baddies somewhere in the crowd? And, as we have come to learn, thanks to Cabo Verde, the previous AFCON, that Africa is blessed. Africa is blessed. I swear, I'm watching AFCON, and I'm going like, thank God I'm not gay. Because holy moly, would you look at that? Now, before someone gets a heart attack early this morning, don't worry. I'm just, I'm here for history, but I want to, lay the foundation with a little bit of humor. We're going to get to Somaliland. We're going to get to British Somaliland and Italian Somaliland in a few. Turns out two types of Somali up until, 1960, they kicked the heck out of each other until, 1991. That's when yours truly here was born. And it has been a contentious border issue. And Ethiopia tried to come in a little bit, and then the international community was not having it, including China, for one. For the first time, very rare occasion, the
Chinese and the Americans agreed on one thing, like, yeah, Ethiopia. No, that's not cool, dude. That's not cool. But we're going to get to that in a few. First, let's look at one of those things that I remember talking about last year. This is actually two things. One, Zimbabwe, how the heck do you guys choose your names? That's the question that everyone is asking themselves right now. Well, it turns out it has something to do with a tradition. I think that's more common in this. How do I put this? If you have come across, it turns out, if you have come across some of those, what you describe as funny Zimbabwean English names, it turns out those are not actually English names. They are literal translation. They are direct translation. Yeah, call it literal translation from some of the local languages straight into English. Just picture yourself with your, Shwambo, Herero, Kavango, Damara name. That, not the Petrus, Johannes. Now, you guys stay out of this. I don't even know what type of Africans you people are. How can you be African, black, and your names are Johannes Moses? Really? So, I have so many questions. So many questions, but because I don't have a lawyer or the muscles to defend myself from a physical confrontation, most likely to emanate from those questions, I'll just hold my peace. Now, for those of you that are true Africans and you have an African name, what would your name be in a literal English if you were to translate it literally to English? Take mine, for example, Mahongo. That would be reed. It's in reeds, grass family type of plant that you find at the river, the tall one that's mostly used to make yards in most parts of the Kavango region. And the Zambezi region, I think. That would be my name. That would be Helmut Reed. Huh. Mr. Reed. That's nice. There's a nice ring to it. Now, if you all you just have to do is translate your literal African name, your clan name, your tribal name, that name, translate that to English. Turns out that's what a lot of, that's what not a lot, actually, just a few. Some tribes in Zimbabwe like to do. They just translate that, just take that name and bring it just straight to English. And now at AFCON, we have, again, memes trending more than soccer statistics coming out of AFCON. The Olympics decided to write more on the names of Zimbabwean soccer players. Oh, okay. Oh, no. My favorite part. Actually, I have a lot of favorite things that's been happening so far at AFCON. One, whoever hired the camera crew that is covering that event, God bless you. Because that every cameraman there needs a race. Because first of all, I have a sneaky suspicion they are operating with the guys that are selling the tickets. So they get where all the hot girls are sitting. Minus the ugly ones. No one is spending the camera to those ones. It's too early, Helmut. People are having their breakfast. But then again, where was I? So, it's too early. But then again, well, it's Eagle FM. And it's me. You should know by now. Being serious is just not my thing. Thank you very much. So, one, whoever hired the cameraman doing the Lord's work at AFCON, thank you very much. And like I pointed out earlier, I have a sneaky suspicion they are covered. They are working with the guys that are selling the tickets, and they know where all the baddies are sitting. That word right there, ladies and gentlemen, is why marriage is doomed. You're welcome. Minus the cameraman doing the Lord's work, Africa is so blessed when it comes to beautiful women that during the match between during the match between Egypt and Zimbabwe, there was a cameraman that was so confused. Instead, in the middle of the Egyptian national anthem, you were supposed to pan the camera to you're supposed to pan the camera to the he was supposed to pan the camera to the Egyptian soccer team most, you know. When your national anthem is playing, you are supposed to be on screen. That's a very rational way that this whole national anthem in sports work. Actually, I think that's where how national anthems everywhere works. When your national anthem is playing, it is supposed to be you on screen. Well, the cameraman couldn't wait for the match to start so he can keep panning the camera to just a bunch of women in the crowd. He ended up, panning the camera to a group, to Zimbabwean soccer players in the middle of an Egyptian, Egyptian national anthem. Now, picture yourself as a Shona-speaking individual, switching from Shona or English national anthem to an Arabic one. Congratulations. A point of correction. Good luck with that. That's one thing. One, cameraman. Those are the most dramatic cameramen I've ever seen. I mean, AFCON is generating memes so much that even those of us that are not, soccer enthusiasts, we're watching soccer. We are watching soccer, which is nice. So, the Olympics. What are the Olympics now? What are they saying? Well, AFCON 2025, marvelous, divine, teenage. Why Zimbabwean squad names are trending? God knows, teenage, divine, marvelous, prosper, prince. Why, Washington? There's no way that's trending. Washington. What is the story behind unique names of Zimbabwe's football players at AFCON Cup of Africa Cup of Nations in Morocco? Well, you see, the African Cup of Nations is a tournament reputed for its diversity and unpredictability. Africa is literally the most diverse continent on the planet. Like, we are not called the cradle of humanity we are called cradle of humanity for a reason. That's because we are most diverse. Like, really, really, really diverse. And the Makata projection map does not actually do us justice in the way that it portrays the African map, the African map on most, if not all, atlases, which is because I believe the Makata projection is the one that's predominantly used in schools when we are learning geography. That's why a lot of people to this day believe that the United States as a country is bigger than Africa as a continent. Actually, you can fit about, I don't know how many United States as a country in Africa, in the African continent. By land mass, Africa is massive. And on the map, it's just not depicted as such. And for a lot of reasons, some point to some kind of colonial racism type of reasons behind the depiction. And some use navigational issues, navigation as the reason why that is always the case, because it's much easier. Because the Earth is not it's not a sphere as we like to picture it. It's an oval. So depicting something with the degree of accuracy that would expect it to be, especially on an oval, it turns out according to a lot of shapeists. Let's call them that, because I don't know what the discipline is called. According to those, to shapeists or cartographers, the one. According to those ones that did cartography, it's not that easy depicting something, depicting something accurate as would like Africa to be depicted on an oval. I don't believe any of them. So, Africa is very diverse, a competition where storylines are just as frantic as the football itself. And 1 week into the 2025 edition of the continental tournament, and one more interesting narrative has emerged from the Zimbabwe star list. This is when a lot of a large part of the planet discovering that Zimbabweans have somewhat very awesome, interesting names. Very interesting names. When the Warrior faced Egypt on Monday, the 22 December, you know, when that whole panning of a camera to Zimbabwean soccer players during the singing of the Egyptian national anthem, I swear Africa is not for beginners. Like, you... You're telling me you can't tell the difference between the national anthem of Egypt and Zimbabwe? Because if you can't, perhaps you should be in Africa. Because you should be able to. For one, the national languages of these two countries are wildly different. One uses English, the other uses Arabic, right? Like it should be easy, like it's that easy. It's that easy. Turns out someone, you know. Now, when the Zimbabweans faced Egypt on Monday, the 22nd of December, in their Group B game, there were no short of star names on show. Mohamed Salah, that's, you know, Egypt. Omar Marmoush. Hope I pronounced that right. Where on the pitch, names that need little introduction. Those are, you know, Mohamed Salah is a, you know, even those of us again that are not sport enthusiasts know who Mohamed Salah is. And the thing is, those are not the names that that dropped a lot of jaws in this match. It was, of course, the Zimbabwe names, you know, God Knows, Teenage, Divine, Motherless, Prosper, Prince, Washington. Washington, that's a very common name in the English world. Prosper, Motherless, Divine, Teenage, like... I would have a serious conference with my parents if they named me Teenage. Because I'll be like, okay, now I'm 34. What am I supposed to do with that name again? You're Mr. Teenage, huh? Mr. Who? Yeah. You know what? You. Can imagine in my, you know, I can imagine when I go home and everyone is, you know, starts calling me because in my culture you are called after the, you know, you are called, how do I put this? Is it using your child? Using your title as a father and your firstborn's name. I have a cousin to murder after this. Thank you. Now, yours truly here, both his parents, actually, I didn't know my parents' name, like full names, like real names, because it wasn't until somewhere in the 1970s and 80s where in my culture it was very common for you to call your father by his name. Because culturally, I did not make the rules. I was just born and raised in that culture. It's rude for you to call your parents by their names. Mom, Dad, those are their names to you. For everyone else, their name is... If your name is Julius, there'll be Julius' father. We had Julius, Nina Julius, Julius' mother. Those are the names that you grow up knowing. And then you get to a point that, to a point where you have been hearing that a lot, to the point where you start thinking, do I even know my parents' names? Yeah, mom, dad, oh yeah, sit down. What are your names anyway? Because I know I am Julius, and everyone keeps calling you guys Julius mom and Julius dad. Now, what are your names? So, but before continue, let's take a break.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe udite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa ninge Fada Fanona, Monica Ko Eagle FM, Honora Tatuime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali no Heali, Ileko Berewa, Bra Hetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Batatu, Oma Felane, Eagle FM, the Eye.
And welcome back, where were we? AFCON and those wonderful cameramen and those awesome, you know, Zimbabwean names. One thing that's worth noting about why Zimbabweans have what you would call very curious or funny names, depending on which direction you wanna go, is that that's actually a combination of those names are they are a mixture of originality and culture. With a culture, I think, dominating a significant part of it. Pride, you have names like Pride, Love, Pride, Desire, really? Now, it turns out in some cultures in that country, called Zimbabwe, a name tells a whole story, and a motivation to give a child, a certain name, can be a statement which the namer, most cases the parents, as you can imagine, wants the child to take. So the name, you are giving that child a motivation, pride. Can you imagine being called rich and then you grow up to be poor? Summit. You guys were supposed to work harder, be loaded, and then call me rich. You can't be broke and calling me rich. Come on. Well, thank you for not calling me poverty, but you get the picture. You all were supposed to hustle first, get loaded, and then start giving kids, names like that. So it's a father's responsibility to ensure that, the paternity of the child would name, it's the father's responsibility to name the child. So it's a very paternal, culture, which is not unheard of. Not just in Africa, it's the world over. Minus few parts of Asia. Asia is some interesting culture. And also northern Nigeria, by the way, because I'm told in the Fulani culture, the Fulani culture is very matriarchal. It's one of the very rare cultures that you find across the planet that is dominated by matriarchy. Elizabeth would love to live in that culture because she will live by a nickname, the matriarchy. Now, they may be translating their names directly from their native language to English. Or just giving people name depending on their circumstances. Well, at least it has some degree of authenticity to it. I know it's very easy to laugh at them when your name is Elizabeth. Do you even know what your name means? At least Desire. At least Desire knows. Desire knows what his or her name is. Okay. Liberty. Freedom. God knows. No matter. Anyway. The names are funny. I'll tell you that. The names are really, really funny. Freakishly funny. But at least they know what they mean. Now, if someone stopped you and told you that without Googling, I will give you $1 million if you tell me what your name means. A lot of us would still be broke after that. Because we have these fancy English-sized names, but most of them are either coming from Latin, Greek, or Hebrew. We have no clue what they mean. We have no clue what they mean, but we are very proud of it. My name is Elizabeth, but my friends call me Lizzie. Now, what does Elizabeth mean? Well, my parents gave me the name. How was I supposed to know? Really? Really? That's the direction we're going to go? That's one thing. That's why I don't subscribe to the whole idea of, my parents didn't teach me this. That's why I don't know. That's why I don't know how to do it. Let's talk about the bedroom. I know it's a little too early, but let's just talk about the bedroom for a while. How much of all that performance you are pulling off there did your parents really teach you? I'm not saying parents should start teaching their kids that because it's just disturbing on a whole another level. But I'm just saying that cannot be used as an excuse as to why you don't know how to do certain things. My parents are supposed to know. You just didn't want to learn because if you did, you would have mastered it. Because there are certain things, there are a lot of things we will not mention here on air that you have mastered with down to the most exquisite detail without your parents. Actually, you were trained by a lot of total strangers. Not judging, why am I kidding? They're here to judge. The practice makes perfect, they say. When you look at it from that angle, you start having a lot of questions about a lot of people. A minute past the hour of 8, that's why I like history. Because once I take that 10 in the direction of dirty mind, a lot of things. Now, enough about the names. Let's now start looking at what we are here to discuss today. So, AFCON is generating more memes than football statistics. And I'm not sure whether that's because of social media or a lot of Africans actually don't think it's funny. They think it's demeaning to the sport. It's supposed to showcase Africa's talent on the pitch. But Africa's talent that's being showcased is mostly with regards to the ongoing AFCON in Morocco. Africa's talent that's being showcased is the one that is off the pitch. There's one guy, Tanzanian, who also went viral. I think Homeboy is still he's still trending. In the middle of his team losing, he's seemingly asking for a number from, I will forgive him, the blade is hot. So even if, he was like, well, my team is winning on the, I mean, my, no, he was, his team was losing on the pitch. He was like, you know what, focus on the game. You've been single for a very long time. You need this number. Let's look on the bright side. Yes, your team is losing on the pitch. But do you really want to lose on the pitch and in life? Like, he's right here. How often do you sit next to a hot stranger that is willing to talk to you to the point of giving you their number? In a full stadium. Doesn't happen that often. So I totally understand the guy. Whatever those of you that are cooking the guy, and boy, he's being cooked, especially on TikTok, Homeboy has gone viral. Like, boy, oh boy. But look, I don't blame the guy. First of all, the Lord created an African woman and nailed it. Did not miss. Just nailed it to the core. So, that lady. Smoking hot. I don't blame the guy. Like, I have a feeling if I was sitting next to that lady and the brave warriors were on the pitch losing, I would still focus on getting the girl's number. Although for me, that would not be a surprise because, well, the brave warriors at AFCON are always losing. Even if they were, someone would be like, oh, look, but your national team is losing. Why are you so focused on getting that lady's number? I would be like, well, Well, I'm Namibian. The brave warriors. This is AFCON. We are used to these things. We are used to these things. Like, losing is what we do. Like, if the brave warriors was to sing the, all I do is win, no matter what. If we were to translate that in a way that it reflects the brave warriors' performance at AFCON, it would be, all we do is lose, no matter what. We don't have the money on the game. And everyone in the building, don't put your hands way up. And don't let them stay there. I think I'm going to have to hide from the brave warrior guys after this. 5 minutes into the hour of eight. So let's just take a very awesome break on the other side. Then we talk about the Horn of Africa and Israel. Because there's something awesome taking place, and that is actually my talk for the day. Just wanted to say a shout out to the cameraman, shout out to every African woman, you guys. Nah, you guys rock. And the cameraman at AFCON knows that. They know that. They're doing you guys justice. They're showing the world that this continent is blessed. And indeed, blessed indeed.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. It's 7 minutes past the hour of eight. Now, let's dive into the main course of today's show. That is a few days ago, much of the world went bananas when the when Israel announced that it is formally recognizing Somaliland as a sovereign nation, becoming the first country in the world to recognize Somaliland as a sovereign nation. Why is that a big deal? Because that is the move that has been condemned by both the African, by both Somalia, as you'd expect, and the African Union. Just why is that? Now, for those of you that have, if your memory serves you correct, I think it was on Mind the Gap or Home Run earlier. Was that earlier this year? Last year. There was a little bit of tension, a lot of tension between the government of Somalia and Ethiopia, because Ethiopia had stricken a deal at the time, at the beginning of last year, in exchange of recognizing Somaliland as a country on its own. This is something that they've been looking forward to since 1991, when they broke away from what we all know as Somalia. Now, how did we get here? That's always the most awesome question. Before we come to Israel's controversial move, believe me, it's going to be so interesting, because there's something very awfully similar about what the Israelis are doing. And first of all, how the founding of the State of Israel came to be in the 1940s. And how they moved from Europe to the Middle East in the first place. That whole Balfour Declaration and how they were literally loaded on ships and sent to where Israel is today. And you'll remember a couple of months ago about the South Africans complaining about how did this plane full of Palestinians end up at O.R. Tambo Airport. Interesting. So let me get this straight. The Germans carries out a Holocaust across a very large chunk of Europe. And then at the end of the Holocaust, a bunch of white guys in the middle of Europe decides, you know what? How do we deal with this Jewish problem? And yeah, it turns out that's that whole statement has its own Wikipedia, and but my favorite being Encyclopedia, you know, Britannica, and that's you know, on most of these subjects, it has a whole story on with regards to where that phrase came from and all that. But we don't have time for that now. Let's talk about Africa. So. First thing we're gonna do is look at just where the heck is Somaliland, because a lot of us, you know, a lot of us were going, where the heck is Somaliland? It's debatably part of Somalia. I'm saying debatably because, well, to answer that, we have to go way back, and you know how it all starts. Somewhere in there, the British shows up. The British will always show up when it comes to these disputes. But the most important year that we are looking at, especially when it comes to why the African Union reacted that way in terms of condemning Israel's move, has to do with the African Union itself. And it's some of the, you know, they had the Cairo Declaration in 1964, where they agreed that, you know what, to avoid kicking the heck out of each other over borders, we will just, we don't like this whole Berlin Conference map that was drawn up. So to avoid us murdering each other, because we know that the Berlin Conference was called because Europeans were about to annihilate each other over who should steal which part of African continent's resources. So then they came together and came to an agreement that, you know what, the goal here is to kill those guys there and then steal their resources. We're not supposed to be killing each other. Very, well, there was cooperation there at least. So then they decided, you know what, the best way to pull this off is, let's just sit and then draw the map irregardless of how many tribes and families that we are going to tear apart. So as long as we are getting our resources in the, you know, at the end, let's do that. So they draw up this, they carved up the map, and 1964, during the, you know, the independence or democratic dispensation of a lot of countries on the African continent, the African Union decides, you know what, we are going to respect the sanctity of colonial borders. That's their own language. I didn't make that up. I'm not that smart. We're going to respect the sanctity of pre-colonial borders. Because let's face it, if the African Union was to erase all the borders today and decide, you know what, let's draw our own borders. Holy cow! The chaos. Boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy. First of all, we would, just us, you don't have to go anyway, just us, would be having a whole different discussion with Botswana on the Caprivi Strip. Would be having a whole type of discussion with the South African over where to draw the border, whether it's on the Namibian side of the Orange River, on the South African side of the Orange River, because the South Africans are like, actually, this whole Orange River thing, well, that's ours. So now you totally understand why I subscribe to the whole African Union idea of, you know what? maybe these borders that were left by these colonial guys came as a blessing in disguise, because then we don't have to murder each other over where to draw the lines, boundaries, aka boundary lines. Let's just leave it like that. Oh boy. Oh, we have a commercial break creeping up. We have to pay the bills. And on the other side, we dive into the history first of Somaliland and Somalia. Quick break.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Ikungiriro con karimo kehe eripe vijaehe mo Namibia. Raka otaparandura etse ifo jasiman. Talizi ku miniseri una mabza ikwahi omea ne tendururo jevi. Naturi porakene nawa nukurita ambasana na negumbo aehe ashinda nukume. Natukholisipo omkaro wokuranda nokuarandisa evijaehe. Omoma shikembera. Oshoka, evijaehe mo Namibia, evije pangiro, no itali vurunandi okurandiswa kuchane omunkaro woni. Okukusa ombinga mirandiso jevijaehe, oshirima shahari paveta. Oveta etenduro jevijaehe, ovetonjintano yomvomo ovigari nambari, oyindika siru siru oshirima shika. Iranduri irandiso jevi shahari paveta. Omagero opaveta, ona kuyona otashivurika pewe egero jukufuta, nenge jonzorongo, okupia ganika umbiri moshiwana. Irandiso nenge okuranda evi jaehe, otashivurika siete o tamana na devi, oshowo uumbanda moshiwana. Shoka wapumbwa kutsea oshoshika, evi jaehe, oje tweni atuheni, ojo onzo mzoka zina okutoporirwa sana, no kuganja uwanawa ukehe umwe, okupatira po uthiga wetu. Mokusimanika evi jaehe, potatu ganja esimaniko John Kurukevi vetu, no kugamine na po onzingoroko wetu. Lopota ume nyingo gari paveta. Una wanzindirike ushinigwanima tashirimbirike, shanika ulingiringi werandito jevi jaehe, shiropota mbara kerero jopamfinguru wakaro, ke uriko ngundumtima jevi jaehe, nenge kombirewa yu ministeri pope pinangoe. Naturongere ni kumwe, moku gamine napo onzo zetu zevi jaehe, morwa ushiwana shoko mongura. Koneka kucha, itashikakara ushina kuwadithwa shu ministeri, mekaniso kehe jevi jahoroka onga ushizemo shiranizo jevi jaehe, jaalipaveta, zimburukwa. Evi jaehe, uyamba wapumba, naturigamine nepo nogulikarikapo, morwa uwa nawa wa kehe kumwe. Irongero kumwe joe otali pandurwa. Yetu mwara kantika jopa radio, ujarungi kithwa neambilido Joshi Mariwa okuzake pangero jo Republika ya Namibia, ne pangero jo Republika ya Ndoishi, okupitira mombanga yo mapendure po yo KFW. Kujenide wa wedo po, kwa tathana nombire wa yu ministeri po pepinangoye, nenge ombire wa yi pambire yoshi wana mu ministeri unamata, i kwa khi omea ne tenduro jevi kon omwara yongote, Nora Hamano imwe, omirongo mbali, omirongo hetatu na heri, omirongo hamano, none.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Welcome back, and we continue. Just remember, the U in UNAM is you, and welcome to the time machine, and hop in this time machine with me as we go to as we look at the timeline of the this whole the timeline of what is going on. of what is going on in the Horn of Africa, especially with Israel's recognition of Somaliland. First of all, what is Somaliland? Somaliland is a very was a British protectorate. Pardon me. Really trying not to sneeze in your ears. Was a British protectorate. There's going to be, you know, the British somewhere, you know, in all these stories. For those of you that have seen, you have a map in your phone. If you look up Somalia, you'll see that the Somalia that we know is more than the one that is also bordering Ethiopia, and Somaliland bordering Ethiopia, and Ethiopia had a port when they were before Eritrea broke away. Oh boy! Turns out there was a time when those two were in good terms, Ethiopia and Eritrea. Now, oh boy, the interesting thing is now, like most if not all neighbors, they don't like each other. Like this is interesting. Most neighboring countries hate the guts of each other, which I find very interesting. So, just a quick summary of what the heck is Somaliland. You see, it's a breakaway semi-desert territory of the coast of Gulf Aden. We're talking about the side of the Red Sea. Hence, because it borders Eritrea. Eritrea, they got their names from the Greeks. Erythros, it turns out, is a Greek word for red. Eritrea, Red Sea. Eritrea. It's from Erythros, which means red in Greek, and that's where they got their name. Interesting name. This breakaway republic, the breaking away happened in 1991. It turns out it wasn't, you know, it those before the breakaway, before the breakaway, they had a 10 years war. Those two, you know, Somalias. Now, this Somalilands, there are two Somalilands. There were two Somalilands before 1960. There were two Somalilands. There was a British Somaliland, which is what is still called today as Somaliland. And there was a Italian Somaliland, which is today's Somalia. You know that sanctity of colonial borders I pointed out earlier? This is where it comes in handy, because pre-colonialism, there was a British Somaliland and Italian Somaliland, which means British Somaliland, that one was a protectorate of the British, the British were basically in charge of that. Italian Somaliland, I don't have to explain that. In fact, where's that name? Their name for Italian Somaliland sound like spaghetti. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but it really does sound like, spaghetti. Now, these two land masses, they were, when we had a common enemy that is colonialism, these two actually became very good friends, and then as a little bit of a power squabble took place then. So, short timeline this part of Somalia dates back to the 7th century. So, but we are not going to go back to the 7th century. They have a 14th century history, 15th century history. The interesting history starts from the 15th century one, because that one also includes Ethiopia. It turns out Ethiopia was a troublemaker this time of the year. Somewhat the height of, Ethiopia was a very, one of Africa's powerhouse. So, like every powerhouse, it was just bulldozing its policies left, right, and center. Basically taking over everyone's land. Just a typical power thing, a typical thing that you do if you have access power. You'd start bulldozing people. like a... People don't understand why I'm a nice person. Because I don't have a muscles to get... I don't have muscles to get into a fight with anyone. If I had muscles, you think I'd be nice? I'd be bullying you. Are you kidding? But let's not go with that. Let's not go with that. I'm nice. I'm just a kind-hearted person. That's why I'm nice. It has nothing to do with the fact that I don't have the upper body strength to defeat most average men my age in a physical confrontation. So, what happened now? 1527, the Sultanate of Adal revolts against Ethiopian rule and subsequently conquers much of Ethiopia before being defeated with the help of Portuguese in 1543. Now, there's a reason why I started with that. Because every time I read a piece of history like that, it reminds me again why we were colonized. This indicates that Somaliland was fighting for its life. So, then at some point, it won. When it won, it decided to take, as a part of revenge, I believe, you know, as you can imagine, decided to take some, not only its borders, but also some pieces of land from Ethiopia. And it was expanding deep into Ethiopia until Ethiopia decided, Portuguese, please come and help us. This is in the 1500s. This is in the 1500s. So, 1543, mid-1543. The doctrine of discoveries have already been granted to the Portuguese at the time. Because this was in the late 1400s. So, it wasn't until the 1800s, as you can imagine, it wasn't until the 1800s when the British established the protectorate of British Somaliland through treaties with local sultans. This is, call them your traditional authority leaders. Sultan. Now, in 1899, Islamic cleric Muhammad Abdullah rises against the British, the guys that established them as a protectorate. They rise against the British, you know, very similar to what we did to the apartheid South Africa, because the British were, whoever came up with the idea to give Namibia to the South Africans as a protectorate. That is the dumbest diplomatic decision you can ever make. That's like hiring a serial killer to be a babysitter. What the heck do you think is going to happen? Protectorate, my behind. There is no protecting, as we know that the title was protectorate, and the exercise on the ground was more molestalate. They were just molesting us economically, politically, you name it. But they were protectorate my behind. And the same thing basically, not to be selfish, this is not about us, guys. I know, I love my country. This is not about us. This is about Somaliland. Now, so 1899, Islamic cleric Muhammad Abdullah rises against the British rule. And as you can imagine, the British protectorate. British Somaliland, so protectorate of British Somaliland. We all know there was more molesting going on there of natural resources than protecting. There wasn't a protectorate. Protection is only in the name. In the activity is molestalate, not protectorate. Now that you get the picture, moving on. So, after the, you know, that Islamic cleric arose against the British rule and then going on to establish a Davish state which survived until it was destroyed you guessed it, by the British in 1920. Fast forward to 1960, the British Somaliland and Italian land becomes independent and merged to form the Somali Republic. British Somaliland and Italian Somaliland. If you look at the full picture of Somalia, those are two land that were actually combined to form Somaliland, to form Somalia. And 1960. Now, 1991, former British Somaliland declares unilateral independence as Somaliland following the ousting of Somali President Mohamed Said Barre, which plunges the rest of Somalia into anarchy. So, that's the story of how I ended up having Somalian friends. Because their country was in so much chaos. Yeah. So, they were homies. They were homies before they started kicking the heck out of each other. Now, why did they start kicking the heck out of each other? Well, because it's a usual power thing. And this place has like two, now, Somaliland has two parts. There's parts that actually has its own government, like literally its own police, its own constitution, and they have been in existence since 1991. And they have some kind of a buffer zone between them and Somalia. A part that is disputed between the two. Like Somaliland itself in terms of national sovereignty is still disputed as far as the Somalis are concerned, as far as the Somali government is concerned. There's a disputed territory between Somalia and the Somaliland. Now, when it comes, since its breakaway in 1991, Somaliland has been begging for international recognition as a sovereign nation. That brings us to Ethiopia. Now beginning to get very delicious. So, Ethiopia, after having a lot of cognac or ombike, whatever they drank back in July of 2024, decided to tell the Somali government is that if you give me port access, I'll be the first in the future to recognize you as a sovereign nation. Picture yourself as a, you have been single for a very long time. You are willing to be in a relationship so bad, you will date anything with a heartbeat. Even if those green things from Guardians of the Galaxy with pointy ears came and gave you their number, whatever number they have somewhere in extraterrestrial world, you go out with them. First question will be, yeah, I don't know how we do this. You guys have boobs, right? Just asking, because I know what to do with a fellow human, but you guys, not much. Because I want to be sure, where to find what. We're talking about, let's go with treasure, where to find treasure. Actually, that's one of the reasons why I don't think us finding aliens is a good idea. And so my mind is way too dirty. I'm going to get killed by a bunch of aliens. Because the questions I'm going to ask, they will bend this whole planet because of me. So, Somalia. Ethiopia's recognition of Somalia, of Somaliland. Near recognition, because, the backlash was... 2024, July 3rd, BBC, the BBC wrote an article on that, simmering tension at the time. Actually, that was not simmering. That tension was just, it wasn't up in flames because they were not engaged in a few, military conflict. But, they were getting very close. Now, tempers remain high. This is from last team. Tempers remain high. In the Horn of Africa, after New Year's deal, because the deal between Ethiopia and Somaliland was stricken in January of 2024. Tempers remain high in the Horn of Africa. Seven months after a New Year's deal, saw the self-declared Republic of Somaliland agree to lease part of its coastline to its landlocked neighbor, Ethiopia. One of the guys that actually came out to condemn Israel's recognition of Somaliland was the African Union. The African Union headquarters is in Ethiopia. This is the very same country that, well, wanted to recognize Somaliland last year. Geopolitics. Look, I totally agree with is it Antonio Privitera, the Polish arms dealer, who in Andrew Feinstein's documentary Shadow World, Global Arms Deal, said that politicians, to use a less friendly language, that politicians are like sex workers, if only more expensive. The man uses a very colorful language. But then again, he's an arms dealer, so I think that's actually a good reason to listen to him, because he has dealt with politicians his whole life. Like, beyond the verbosity of the political campaigns language. So, Somalia was not happy about the maritime agreement that was stricken in 2024 by Somaliland and Ethiopia. And the details were still very questionable at the time. And to this day, the details of the agreements are still somewhat very questionable. Because this was not a contract, which is something that is actually worth pointing out. This was a memorandum of understanding. And the difference between a full-blown agreement and a memorandum of understanding is that a memorandum of understanding does not have legal implications in terms of withdrawing from it in the way, in the same way that full blown legal agreements. Memorandum of understanding is like we may or we may not do this. We can change our mind at any time, and none of us actually have to face any type of penalty. That's a memorandum of understanding, or as they are commonly known, MOU. Firstly, it was believed that the deal was unlawful and the act of aggression. And it was called by Somalia as an act of aggression, because Somalia considers Somaliland, part of it, which broke away from Somalia in 1991 at the start of the protracted civil war. That was the 10 years, give or take a year or two. That was a very long civil war. A day in a war-torn country is bad enough. 10 years? At this point, you don't have a country. After 10 years of, of bombs blowing up, you don't have a country. You have ashes. Think physical infrastructure. You don't have any. Think basic services like health, education. You don't have any. After 10 years of civil war? The Somali government was infuriated by reports that in return for the use of the port, Ethiopia would become the first country to recognize Somaliland as a sovereign nation. Again, just a reminder, this is last year, when Ethiopia actually showed interest in recognizing Somaliland as a sovereign nation in exchange for port access, maritime access. Because Ethiopia, turns out, they want to establish a navy, which is not easy to do if you are a landlocked country, because a navy entails sea military. If you don't have access to the sea, then take, for example, the Namibian Navy. Part of their job is to ensure that we have our maritime borders are safe, because we have a maritime border. Can you imagine Botswana saying, they have a division of their military that protects their maritime access. Everyone will be like, their maritime borders, and everyone will be like, what maritime border? It's like me saying, let me call my wife. Everyone will be like, yeah, what? Since when? Actually, the funny thing is, my dad would most likely go with, why wasn't I invited? Homeboy's sarcasm gets better than mine the older he grows. Now, the Somalian government, as you can imagine, with the language and the interest that was showed by Ethiopia to recognize Somaliland, did not like it. So, when they say that when two brothers are fighting, Total strangers will take advantage of that tension and then come in between them. Yeah. Now that you have... And look, Horn African countries are very interesting. You remember, was that last year or earlier this year when the Rapid Support Forces representative left Sudan and they visited Kenya? And Kenya was actually entertaining the idea of recognizing the Rapid Support Forces representative that visited them as a legitimate government that they wanted to establish in parts of a sovereign Sudan. And as you can imagine, Khartoum did not like that. So at this point, it's safe to say that when it comes to recognizing questionable governments, that's an East African thing. When it comes to cooing the heck out of their legitimate governments out of office, the legitimate part being very debatable, that's a West African thing. When it comes to overthrowing governments, West Africa is very good at that. When it comes to recognizing leaders with questionable ties to guys with trigger-happy fingers, that's an East African thing. First, it was Kenya saying, you know what, I think I must recognize the Rapid Support Forces. The guys that are allegedly, militarily, and in a lot of very questionable ways being backed up by the UAE. And in that, you have the UAE, and one side you have, once you get there, it's just a matter of time before you start talking about Israel and the US. Because those guys are not very far behind every time you, everywhere you see those guys. Everywhere you see these rich Gulf states, just know the US and Israel are not very far behind. It's in this order. Wherever you see representatives of these very rich Gulf states, just know that the US is not very far behind. And just know that European countries, in terms of political backing and economic backing and military backing, are not far behind. Just know that somewhere in the background is Israel is not very far behind. You gotta love geopolitics. I'm telling you, once you stop taking stories from directly from your mainstream media, once you look at the history of it all, you begin to understand why. Every time I find a story in the newspaper, I'm more interested in how did this start. Now, because now we're all sitting here condemning Israel, but the seat of the African Union, Ethiopia, started that nonsense last year. And now everyone is shocked Israel has recognized Somaliland, and the African Union are now issuing a statement. This is against our 1964 Cairo Declaration to respect the sanctity of colonial borders. But really? You know what? I need a break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge leo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna e mitoda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kondado inawa Nuneuto, or to quetera or special, Angeta Shak and Gejepa, Omarudi, Dio Loka, Open Ocean Fenawa, Nokumona Ojaweri Nawa, Ningapata Fanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honora Tatime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali, No Heali, Ileko, Berewa, Rahetatu Natu, Bali or Hetatu Batatu, Oma Felane, Eagle FM, the Eye.
Welcome back. 16 minutes to the hour of 9. This is the Time Machine with Helmut on Eagle FM, where we use history to prove a point. And the point I'm here to prove is Namibia was a protectorate. Were we? Were we? Because there was more molesting going on than protecting. Well, the same thing happened to the British protectorate of Somaliland. There was more molesting than protecting, which is why they fought back and then won their piece of land. And in the 1960s, they decided, you know what, let's just unite. After all, we are brothers. They united with the with what was then called Italian Somaliland, which is now called Somalia, which is what we know today as Somalia. So, I think it was Franklin D. Roosevelt. I don't know why the D is for, but my dirty mind is going haywire. So American presidents, you know, the funniest, people think Donald Trump or maybe some other American president have funny names. The funniest American president name for me I'm trying to put it in a very current friendly way. You know, if people's minds were tourist sites, right? I would not recommend you visiting my brain, because hey, when you come back from there, the amount of therapy you are going to need, hey, I'll feel pity for you. I'm telling you, you'll spend all your life savings on therapy. Now, after that whole tension that was started in January of 2024 by the signing of that interesting agreement by the seat of the African Union and a country that is not recognized on an international stage. And what happened was a lot of, you know, that the way that that dispute was settled indicates to me like a lot of, you know, interest in diplomacy. Turkey, a.k.a. Turkey, actually summoned a bunch of leaders to Ankara, their capital, to for both Ethiopia and Somalia, so that they can just settle the dispute without blowing the heck out of each other. You know what? One interesting thing that happened is that they both showed up in Ankara, Turkey, but they could not engage like in face to face discussion. Why does that sound familiar? DRC and Rwanda. African Union Conference, February 2025. Tshisekedi attended the event via Zoom. Did not even want to show up. Because you know what? I don't want to be in the same room with that guy. And the Qatari said, all right. Boys, come here. What's wrong now? You know what? They both showed up. Fast forward a couple of months later, the Washington Accords are signed. Suluhu Hassan of Tanzania, before she decided to pioneer female dictatorship, got to watch my tongue because I'm planning on visiting Zanzibar. Now, The African Union, SADC, SADC and the East African Community leaders wanted the leaders from Rwanda and DRC to basically meet and talk about what was going on in Goma earlier this year. They also didn't show up. What pains me is that imagine your kids, right? When you call them for discipline, they don't show up. And when your neighbor summons them, they show up. At this point, you are questioning your parenting abilities. Like, what am I doing wrong? Well, for one, the first question is, are you providing for these kids? Because, well, if the neighbor is providing for them, they are going to listen to the neighbor more than they do to you. You're most welcome. So, what then transpired after that, is that, after Somalia called the deal unlawful. Which it was under international law because a lot of parts of the African Union Charter. But the reference, the document that's more often referenced is one that is the 1964. What's that? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, 1964. 17 to 21 July, Cairo Declaration. They had their first ordinary session in Cairo. The first ordinary session of the African Union took place in Cairo, Egypt, from the 17th to the 21st of July, 1964. I remember that day like it was yesterday. Good old days. Yeah. You kidding me, 1964? 1964? Both my parents are from the 70s. Not even they were born. Huh. Time is very nice to think about. But anyway, part of the Cairo Declaration that came out of the first ordinary session that took place in Cairo, Egypt, in 1964, was a border dispute among African countries. They did cover a bunch of things, and then if you have the document, just go way at the end. It's just a one-page document, really. Just go way to the end, you'll find this is them agreeing that we agree to follow this and this and this and this and this and this laws. We solemnly declares that all member states pledge themselves to respect the borders existing on their achievements of national independence. Translation: once you get your independence and find a border, please don't get rid of it, because we don't want people kicking the heck out of each other. We have been fighting a lot. We don't have time to fight anymore. We don't want a luta to continue amongst ourselves. Aluta can, let's all agree that, that was basically them saying, let's all agree that Aluta will only continue against non-Africans. But once you get your independence, please let peace continue amongst each other. Translation, once you get independence, the Aluta stops continuing, and then the looting starts, and then it continue until, citizens wake up and stop believing everything, all the verbosity that comes out of politicians' mouths. The same document also says the following. 1964, people, 1964. All member states, members of the African Union, of which, may I point out again that the headquarters is in Ethiopia, solemnly reaffirm the strict respect by all members of the organization for the principle African Union, for the principle laid down in paragraph 3 of Article 3 of the Charter of the African of the Organization of African Unity. You can even tell from the name, Organization of African Unity, because now it's just African Union. It was OAU, And then we became a little lazy. Then we just decided to say, hey, you know. Like, greetings have changed from good morning to what's up? Just a tiny part about, you know, Ethiopia's, you know, Ethiopia's, how Ethiopia actually laid the foundation for what Israel decided to go, well, I think I can do that too. Now, what was the agreement, though? The agreement, the exact wording of the agreement was were not actually revealed, but like I pointed out earlier, it was not a full-blown legal agreement. It was a memorandum of understanding. Call it like situationship, you know, where you both know that you are just, you know, getting laid, but you are both, you have been traumatized by your previous relationships that you don't want to commit. But the thing is, well, whether you don't want to commit or not, the captain will be saying every morning, so, dude, it's been 6 months. Like, 2 more months and I'll forget how to stand. Is that what you want? If you don't understand that, perhaps you are too young. So, don't worry, you'll grow up. Believe me, you will. The exact wording, now, according to the BBC article, the exact wording of the deal signed by the by leaders of Ethiopia and Somaliland was not made public. I mean, it's entirely up to them, which is a problem as they were different. You know, in the absence of truth, speculation goes wild. Now, a memorandum of understanding is a statement of intent rather than legally binding agreement. Okay, yours truly already pointed that, but there's also a military aspect to their agreement. Now, Somaliland said it could lease a section of the, Somaliland has said it could lease a section of its coast to Ethiopia's navy. Really? Navy, when you are landlocked, like a port for trading, that would make a lot of sense. And right next to Somaliland and Ethiopia is Djibouti, a very interesting country because of its strategic location. You also have to understand Eritrea is very, 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 very strategic location-wise because it's just by the Red Sea. So if you are one of those people that do trade and you use the Suez Canal and you use the Red Sea as an easy access to save billions of dollars, because unless you want to go around Cape Town, which is going to cost you a lot, which was the traditional maritime route until the construction of the Panama Canal, not the Panama Canal, sorry, the Suez Canal. In return of the Ethiopian government being given a port access by Somaliland, according to the agreement last year, Somaliland would get a share of Ethiopia's airline. And Ethiopia's airline is actually booming, unlike some airlines I won't mention. Cough, cough. And Namibia. Ethiopia's airline is a very successful national carrier. One of the most successful on the continent. Again. Unlike some airlines who won't mention. Cough, cough. In Namibia. But the tricky thing is that Ethiopia did not actually say they recognized. They said they would in the future. Look at it this way. It's like one of those things of, you know, meeting someone's daughter, getting their number and telling them that, you know what, I'd like you to cook for me from time to time. I would like to get late from time to time. We're going to go out from time to time because one day I will have an engagement. Somewhere in the near future, I will marry you. That was a sort of like the deal that was going on here. So, that's interesting. And when you know that you have an ex that you had a very terrible breakup with, and by that I mean Ethiopia and Eritrea. You know, sometimes my mind fascinates me because turns out I can make everything dirty. Like, my mind is very genius at that. Don't worry, it's a straight guy thing. Believe me. And one, it's a straight guy thing. Two, when that straight guy is a comedian, it's worse. Much worse. I have both male and female friends. I have been told I have an extra clean mind. Very clean. Choir boy, clean. Very, very... I almost said priest, and then I remembered, you know, Catholic priest and their history with kids. I'm like, okay, that would be a terrible idea. That would have been a terrible analogy. Let's stick to choir boys. Now,
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudi. Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudi te opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe fili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Konongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe pa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamweli nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The time is just a minute past 2 minutes. Man, enemy of progress. 2 minutes past the hour of 10, so past the hour of 9. Past the hour of 9. I want to sleep, you know, want to rob myself of my own time to make fun of God's chosen people. Oh, Israel, here I come. You know what I would have done if I was... look, I don't even know why they... I have a feeling Africans are still new at politics. You do me, I do you. Step on the dance floor. You touch me, I touch you. Unless we are both straight, then you touch me, I punch you. It's a straight guy thing. You know. But if you are the other gender, because I'm straight, oh, you touch me, I touch you. You do me, I do you. Yeah. Again, like I said, when it comes to making things filthy, oh, I have a Nobel Prize on that. Africans must understand politics. Israel recognized Somaliland. Big deal. Big deal. Just recognize Gaza as a sovereign nation and watch Israel freak out. Should I teach you people everything? Watch them go bananas. Actually, because of what I can only suspect is a Jeffrey Epstein files, I will only you know, the Americans will are the ones that you'll be dealing with. Here's one thing I have come about. I've come to learn about how to deal with politicians, and I learned this from the Israelis. The Israelis are smart guys. The Israelis are smart, like really smart. Let me explain why I'm saying that. Before you know, someone starts saying that they gave me, you know, that $7,000 per influencer they are paying to defend their reputation. I'm like $7,000. That's about $7,000. That's about $200,000 Namibian dollars. But here's the thing. $7,000 US, $200,000 to defend their reputation. Yo! That's one massive undertaking. Because, well, some soldiers in the Israeli military were so dumb, they started basically, you know, creating content themselves, doing some of the most morally questionable things. How the heck do you defend that without ruining your reputation? I'm so glad I find myself in a country that have a friend to all and enemy to none, but we support Palestine. But anyway, moving on. I'm saying Israelis are smart because they figured out a genius way on how to deal with, with politicians. Now, if you look at Whitney Webb's two-part series, One Nation Under Blackmail, the book makes a claim that some organizations won't mention Kafkof Mossad, which is the Israeli intelligence, the Israeli version of CIA. And actually, if you are scared of the CIA, you must even be more scared of Mossad because those guys are worse. Now, here's the reason why I think if all the allegations about blackmailing politicians being made about Mossad are true, boy, those guys are smart. Why? After World War II, the Europeans, but now I don't like saying Europeans because that includes Eastern European, which is very not fair because a lot of Eastern Europeans were actually casualties in World War II. And that war was a family squabble gone wrong. Actually, that was World War I. Here's the thing. If Whitney Webb with One Nation Under Blackmail is to be believed, then, the allegations being made by that is that, you know that billionaire called Jeffrey Epstein, you know, that science teacher who miraculously became a millionaire. Like, I swear, I would be very pissed off if I was a science teacher and I'm reading Jeffrey Epstein's story and you know, and the story says, he was a science teacher who became a billionaire. I'd be like, what am I doing wrong? Science teachers who are not yet billionaires, I have a story for you. What you are doing wrong is that you think being a science teacher made Jeffrey Epstein a billionaire. No, he did not. Did not. No. First of all, figure out ways to blackmail people that are rich. Then you become a billionaire. I know Jeffrey Epstein is this guy who was a billionaire himself from being a science teacher. Very inspiring story. You think Elon Musk's story and Jeff Bezos is inspiring? I was just a tech bro working in a garage. Jeffrey Epstein was not even tech bro. Now, one thing you have to know about Jeffrey Epstein is that I think homeboy is a genius. And that's literally, he was a very smart guy. Really smart guy. Which is why he ended up on, on Mossad's radar in the first place. Now, the story is told that a person who became a billionaire from a science teacher, again, inspiring story. How he became a billionaire, we don't know yet. He went through a series of promotions in very In companies that only people that have like MBAs should have received promotions. But he pulled it off with a, you know, with a science teacher qualification. Very, again, like I pointed out, inspiring story.
Telly?
Okay, let's stay with inspiring. So, and then he became so rich that he bought a private island. Now, and this private island, of all things that he could have used this island for, I know what I would use my private island with. I know what I would use it for. But, well, he's a billionaire, right? He can do whatever he wants. Then he used it as an island for blackmailing politicians. You know, for, he would fly politicians there, celebrities, and then take pictures of them doing some of the most questionable things to minors, aka underaged girls. You know, like, you know, like the story is like Diddy, but much richer and much whiter. Because it involves a lot of names that, you know, that came out in a lot of, you know, in a lot of pictures and videos, like Prince Andrew of, you know, of the British royal family, and yours truly, Donald Trump himself, with Jeffrey Epstein himself. And it turns out Donald Trump can dance. Well, he dances like a white person, but bottom line, he can dance. It's like saying, you know, he can season. He seasoned like a white person. He seasoned a chicken like a white person. Just know that that chicken is whiter than the chef that seasoned it. So, this billionaire becomes, now this science teacher rises through ranks of a lot of multinational corporations and then becomes a billionaire and then becomes a billionaire so rich he buys his own private island. He starts blackmailing politicians and even more billionaires. At this point, I have two theories. One, it's either he was really working with the Israeli intelligence. That's why I was able to pull that off. Two, it's either that or he started blackmailing rich people from when he was a science teacher to the point where, you know, he started blackmailing one CEO after another and then ended up taking over their, you know, their ranks to the point of becoming a billionaire. One of these two. It's either he was really working with the Israeli intelligence or he blackmailed his way up the chain of command in most of these multinational companies to the point of becoming a billionaire. Now, that story is not interesting on its own. What's more interesting is that Jeffrey Epstein is more often, again, unpopular opinion here, we are going to disagree on this. Jeffrey Epstein is more often demonized for having a very legally and morally twisted sexual appetite. Because it turns out he was more into minors. You know, the younger the better. That's disturbing even to say. Turns out when you're a billionaire, you explore all things in life, then you are left with only the illegal and immoral to draw a sense of, you know, existence for me. But anyway, let's focus on the clients. Jeffrey Epstein's clients, like I pointed out, are very rich people and very prominent figures. Prince Andrew, British royal family. Donald Trump, now U.S. president. Former and now U.S. president. And also, believe it or not, Stephen Hawking. Pictures of Jeffrey Epstein and Stephen Hawking. You know, not to make fun of disabled people, but Stephen Hawking people. Stephen Hawking! But it's either he was pretending to be on that wheelchair, or, I'm going to need a lot of therapy just imagining what was going on that island with Stephen Hawking. Forget everyone else. We know that's disturbing enough. Stephen Hawking. Okay. The man need a break. Well, at least we know that even though he was wheelchair bound, Well, the captain was not wheelchair bound. Boy, oh boy. For the sake of my sanity and yours, let's take a break. And when we come back from there, let's talk about just a... let's postpone the break. Let's talk about this. What no one likes to talk about when it comes to this whole Jeffrey Epstein thing. I totally understand, guys. Jeffrey Epstein had a morally and legally questionable sexual appetite. But what does that say about his acquaintances? Looking at how prominent they were, and still are. Yes, he blackmailed them, but how did he get them to that island in order to blackmail them? There is no way that story is not disturbing. I feel like when you make so much money to the point of becoming a billionaire, some people become, you know, chasers of pleasure to the point where, you know, when you have money, you can just explore a lot of options to the point where they now have to explore illegal and immoral options to fill our life. Because, yes, we can all blame Jeffrey Epstein for blackmailing them. But Jeffrey Epstein was offering a service they wanted, if you ask me. They wanted to do all those despicable things to minors. Jeffrey Epstein, with his questionable sense of morality, provided those services by scouring the world for minors and providing those minors to them. They went to Jeffrey Epstein asking for what he was for what they knew he was offering. I think this is where the Mossad went like, okay, so this guy's a boy, these guys are broken. Now, here's one fun fact. Did you know that one of the majority shareholders in Pornhub is a rabbi? Don't ask how I know that. It's not important. Never hearing the end of that, am I? The man who dedicated his entire life to saving people from hellfire decided to provide them a company, decided to become a majority shareholder in a company that's providing them with the same thing that he's saying will send them to hellfire. Sometimes the things I read. Well, and I don't have money for therapy. I don't even know why I read these things. But the thing is, it makes some excellent comedy content, I swear. I went through this. I like to look at multinational companies. I like to look at multinational companies and who holds shares, because who have shares in which company tells me who has, you know, who's making the rules, because shareholders make the rules. So that's why every time that people point fingers at a CEO, I'm like, what'd he do? That's just the guy following instruction. It's like blaming, you know, it's like blaming the TV for changing channels instead of blaming the remote and the idiot holding the remote. Actually, the remote, that's just a tool. The idiot holding the remote. Now, when it comes to companies, picture the idiot holding the remote as shareholders, and shareholders also can decide to become board of directors in their own company. But in terms of hierarchy, picture shareholders as the person holding the remote, and the remote being your CEO and managers. That's the remote. Board of directors being the remote. Those buttons. Yeah, those are your CEOs, managers, and employees. Those are the buttons. Interesting. Again, I still maintain that as much as we like to blame Jeffrey Epstein, and blame him we should. Are you kidding me? Minus, Jesus Christ, you need help. Like psychological help. Actually, when I rise to power, the punishment for crimes like that would be straight up castration. But I'm not in power yet, so you guys better laugh at my jokes so that I don't find myself in power. Because at this point, y'all should be scary about, you know, about comedians talking about being in power. Cough, cough. Zelensky. Moving on. Why did I say Israelis are smart? So I think, in the middle of Jeffrey Epstein blackmailing a bunch of rich, you know, a bunch of rich people, he ended up, it's either they made him or he ended up on Mossad's radar, and Mossad's were like, oh, we can make you even richer if you just, we're not saying stop doing that. We are saying, keep doing it and then provide us the material. And Jeffrey Epstein was like, so you guys are not ratting me? You guys are not ratting me out? And I'm like, nope, we're not. These are the intelligence community we're talking about. The intelligence communities, their actions, call it, they like to make it, to push the boundaries of what is accepted as normal. Because the CIA, at some point in the history of the CIA, believe it or not, if you go on the internet and look up something called the gay bomb, because they were doing research, believe me, millions of taxpayers' money poured into a research that was solely based into building a bomb that will be detonated on a large population, and then the effect of the bomb, instead of killing people, would turn everyone gay. And then make them live happily ever after, lovey-dovey, exploring each other's terrains. But that was a genuine research that the CIA did, unfortunately. I also had to read that, unfortunately. Now, why they didn't go with a lesbian bomb? Actually, I would have gone with a lesbian bomb. Am I the only one meeting one hot lesbian after another? I would have gone, like, as a straight guy, of course. I think I would have gone with a, you know, with the lesbian bomb. Because just turn everyone into a... No, that's still a terrible idea. Actually, I would have made a straight bomb and then detonated in a group of lesbians. Gay guys, you guys, most of you guys are tall, dark, and, you know, good-looking, and you have your own money. You guys just keep being gay. We don't want that level of competition into the straight world. Yeah, you're doing great. But they by lesbians. Yeah, man. Money mark the Afrikaans data split, deplete. Moving on. Now, where was I? Israelis, smart. So, they decided to go on a procurement spree of dirty information on a bunch of rich guys, which is why, as you can imagine, there's one American guy that likes, you know, that have been making videos where he asks a lot of prominent figures and their immediate family members in the U.S. about Israel first or America first. Believe me, there is not a single video of this guy that I've come across of a prominent family member or politician that have said, America first. Like, they can answer any question, but when you ask them Israel first or America first, their answer almost always goes the direction of, well, Israel is our ally. I know that. I just said, now we will think that you're American. It's a very patriotic, it's a very rational and patriotic question to ask. Is Israel first or America first? That question scares the heck out of American politicians. And this is on both sides of the political spectrum. That's why when I was talking about voters and campaign contributors, I said campaign contributors are smart in a sense that they are not aligned with one political party. That's a voter thing. Campaign contributors align with more than one political party. Which makes sense because to contribute to a campaign, you must make money. To make money, you must invest. To invest, you must invest in different investment ventures. Otherwise, if you invest in one and that company goes belly up, your entire investment is gone. So they are drawing that inspiration or method of operation from the corporate world, and they're applying it in the political world, and it's working. And then you have those of us that are broke. And we think that investing your entire salary in XBET is a brilliant idea. And then we ended up being broke and, you know, getting divorced in the process. We're taking that mentality of dealing with money into politics, and, well, it's not working very well. Commercial break. Actually, just a break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukurile Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa Nune udo otukwetira o special Ngeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka Okone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ile ko mderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM The Eye.
Welcome back, Eagle FM. Good morning.
Yes, morning, Dr. Helmut. How are you?
Fine, how are you?
Ah, we are fine too. We have a lovely weather in Windhoek today.
Oh, yeah, it's a very nice one. Yeah. It's perfect weather that contributes to both agriculture and population.
Yeah.
Very
much. Oh, you must not waste your mind.
You'll be traumatized to the core.
Well, you cannot recover. Helmut. Anyway, let us not start with African Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Those
cameramen, they know what they are doing.
Don't blame my friends. People are... I think even the English Premier League has started hiring those guys. Because they are professional.
Yeah. Those guys, like those guys are so focused on the girls that, they ended up, they ended up panning the camera to the, to the Zimbabwe national team in the middle of an Egyptian national anthem. Confusion of the highest order. You know, that's how you know the cameramen. That's how you know most of the cameramen, they are straight.
Yeah, they are straight, my friend.
My favorite guy is the Tanzanian guy.
Yeah.
The one that was hitting on the Nigerian lady in the middle of his team losing. I was like, oh boy, focus!
Yeah. Oh, it's boring, Moses, because now we are losing now.
Like, what's the
point? A hot girl here. Yeah, is that boy? Is even the what? 16 years old. The moment I think they deserve something from him.
That guy.
Those are they need to await for this year.
Wait.
Men of the year.
Wait, was that 16-year-old or 22-year-old?
I know, he's 16 years old. He's a teacher, mathematics teacher.
Oh yeah, math teacher. Yeah.
Yeah. Men of the year, my friend.
Men of the year.
Yeah.
Africa doesn't disappoint when it comes to memes.
No, they don't. Telling you. We are getting things. That's why the other guys say, no, you guys can tutor. How can you buy a TV? The TV, you just go to the street and the dramas are there. The action are there.
Free of charge. and live. Unscripted.
That's why you're paying GST limited. Don't watch it.
Yeah, but the chance, you know, the chance of coming back from that live show with a kaokapi, also very high.
You never know when maybe you'll be part of action.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Unintended consequences.
I'm telling you. You know, Helmut.
Yeah.
You know what you're talking about today, Israelians.
Uh-huh.
I think African leaders, they just don't know how to play their cards.
Yeah.
Remember, it was only Namibia and South Africa they took Israel to court.
Actually, it was just South Africa. All we are African... friend to all and enemy to none.
Eish. Then I don't know what you mean when you are taking Israel to court. It's the Palestinian. And we are here.
Yeah.
And the thing is that when you look at the African countries, most of them, they are all quiet, including even the Zimbabwe, who's been sanctioned for I don't know how many years. They're all quiet. They are not doing anything. They want to be loyal to the president who don't give anything ever about them.
We'll lose investors.
Which one?
I've had a lot of those excuses before.
Always. Always we are getting that. The investors are coming. And they say the guys are coming in. They come with what? One container. And they start manipulating the position to get the funds.
Yep.
And they start paying our people peanuts.
This is the thing. One thing. Look, I don't have, I don't have much of a problem with corruption. But the thing is, the way that a lot of non-African countries do it is, They come here, steal from here, and then take to their country.
Exactly.
Look at Sam Harry. Came here, stole something, went to Iceland.
Iceland. God.
And then we...
We are
doing it in reverse, Baba. We steal here and then take it to Switzerland. Oh, come on. That's like taking your 2 liters of water to the river.
Yeah. I'm telling you, and the river is already a lot of water, and they want to pull... to put the water... 20 liters again to fill it up. You cannot fill up the liver with it because it's flowing. And that's what we are doing with African countries. I'm telling you, we are reversing even, we are even worse than our forefathers they did. Where they used to sell the land for sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are worse because this is just a piece of paper which you are getting in our natural resource, in return for our natural resource. Oh, you get a robotic like a car. The Vrupa. And we are celebrating. I'm driving my set of bands. And you don't know what you give up away. This is what is happened to what? In Zambezi.
Mm-hmm.
Where they exchange cars for land. Come on, man. It's what I'm saying. And when you look at this thing, they are talking about like even a person who's still like what? Maybe one pot of, or one, or a cart of petrol.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it damaged a lot of things. But this one is a treason. Where you are selling the land for robotics, this person is about to be locked up for life.
The thing is, look, if you look at the cars, that's reason number one. But if you look at the cars that were exchanged, they were Mahindras and Fortunas. And my favorite part is the Fortuna. It rains a lot in Zambezi, and Honorable must get to the office with a very expensive suit that is not wet. And he needs a car. Honorable needs a car. Now, if the government is putting a moratorium on everything, including cars, well, Honorable will figure out a way to finesse the situation.
We are doing the most worst.
Imagine driving a car, and then you have to take it back because, well, the government came to take its land back. Now you have to go back to a bicycle.
It's raining.
And it's raining. All of a sudden, honorable suit. Now. At this point, you even have a private license plate, land one.
No. Look, man, let's go back to Somalia. Mm-hmm. You see, the thing is that... when you look at the African, the way we do things, it's not the same thing what happened to Rwanda and DRC. And you look at Benin, where Benin is going on, I mean, the way they are writing about Benin, Not really, Benin is close to what? Burkina Faso and the other countries which are liberating themselves. They are trying to find a way. And they are quiet. Why they want to make it so big thing where the military, Nigerian military, have to get involved? I think Burkina Faso and the others, they didn't respond. They said they are waiting, they are ready for war. Because you can tell, Nigeria, how can Nigeria able to solve a conflict without even 24 hours, but they are struggling with Boko Haram? How many years? Boko Haram has been traumatizing people from Nigeria.
Look, one question I always ask myself about terrorists is, where do these guys get their money?
Exactly.
Where do they get their money? Because just follow the money. Just follow the money. And the interesting thing is, Mozambique, the parties that is terrorist ridden is the one that has natural resources. DRC, the one that has the part that has terrorist is the one that has natural resources. Sudan, the part that has terrorist is the one that has natural resources. Syria, oh come on.
How does it happen? Who's allowing them to do that?
So these freedom fighters are just there to protect the resources, to protect the resources for their country by killing the people that are supposed to be to benefit from the resources. The math is not
making. Here it doesn't make sense, my friend. People are here playing with African life.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are suffering.
I think African leaders are very easy to blackmail. You know why?
Yeah.
It's because they are doing, they are doing corruption in reverse mode. They steal money and take it to Switzerland. Now, all you just have to do, all Switzerland have to do is just freeze, freeze that money and tell them, I want mining rights in your country. And you will see your honorable tomorrow in parliament. And you know what? The Swiss are our friends. Really? Since when?
Which is true. You come up with a lot of excuse. That if you don't give it, okay, now, if you don't give it this, and then we need employment. That's what we get every day. That, foreign investment, direct investment.
Yeah.
Is that the word we are using in Namibia? Every day. Guys, we need a job. We need the infrastructure. We need, and then we see later on, nothing happening after 5 years of, after 20 years. You see? We're still in the same drama. Up to now, we're still talking about, you see? We're still talking about what? Water, electricity.
Mm-hmm.
But the other countries, people are talking about the new technologies. How they are using even what? Those things which are flying like what? A taxi to flying to take you to Venue Park. From Havana, you have to fly even some seconds. You're already there. But we are here talking about clean water, my friend. Housing problem. But those people, they solve those problems in 1950.
But don't worry, 2030.
No, my papa, they don't talk about it anymore.
We are, Mandume, if you ask me, we are trying to keep up with the Kardashian. Picture this. This whole Kate Matara thing that's going on in South Africa. Now, imagine how many people have, before this whole thing came out, imagine how many people looked at Kate Matlara's lifestyle and said, I want to be like that guy, without first knowing how did he get
there. How did he do it there? Yeah. That's the thing. And most of us, we just want to that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Where you just wake up in the morning, then you find yourself in the hour's sleep. Without a struggle.
Uh-huh.
That's why homeboys, they are doing something, that's why they are, they are driving DTI. But Baba, if you look, how did get those DTI? You'll be like,
I'll just walk. Yeah, it's okay now. I said it's okay.
Yeah, you can do it.
It's okay now. It's okay.
It's very good.
Yeah.
We are listening.
All right, thank you.
Shabso.
Yeah. everyone wants, every country that is still developing looks at Switzerland and go like, oh man, we also want to be developed like that. Huh? Those guys were banking Nazi gold that was stolen from people that were being annihilated in Germany in Second World War II. Second World War II, same WhatsApp group. But the point is, after the war, the family members, through different government representatives, because the Jewish population at this point was scattered all across the planet, asked the Swiss government, can we have our gold back? And Switzerland was like, what gold? And Switzerland is this country that is known to have financial institutions that have banked money for a lot of very questionable individuals for decades. That's really? If you want to be like Switzerland, you may want to start by stealing gold from people that are being annihilated off the face of the planet. Start from there, and then you hide it, and then you just say, I'm neutral. I'm neutral in the politics, but in the money, oh, I'm just equally neutral. You can bring your money here. Yeah. I know. Now, moving on, because I only have 20 minutes. So, back to my point. I still have to make my point of why I said Israelis are smart. How do they do that? Now, if you read the history of Jewish people, these guys are somewhat... these guys have been exercising a financial institution called usury, which basically gave birth to your mortgage and loans and all that stuff. Here's the thing. Which is why wherever they went, they would practice usury because they were considered like a second-class citizen, basically the exact same thing the Israeli government is doing to the Palestinians. That was done to the Jews for a very long time. Now, when I say long time, I mean, all you just have to do is read the story of pharaohs and... you get just how long time you are going back in history. And how they walked a very short desert for 40 years. They were walking about 5 centimeters a day. But not important. Now, the point is, they exercised that usury wherever they went because they were not incorporated in any country's economic system. They decided to create their own economic system. You know, in the middle of desperate times calls for desperate measures. Wherever they went, whether it's France, Spain, Portugal, they were always treated as second class citizen. And because of that, I think after centuries of being kicked, being treated as second class citizen, one, and two, they came up with their own strategy of making money, and that strategy was called usury. And like you can see with banks, mortgages, high purchase, when you're buying something in high purchase, that shop is making more money than when you buy it cash. So credit makes more money than cash. So when you look at it like that, after they invented usury, wherever they went and practiced that business model, because that's the only thing they were allowed to do, they ended up being richer than the king. And they would be kicked out. Go to the next kingdom and continue with the same business practice, and they would again become richer than the king. And they kept being kicked out left, right, and center. And the last time I think they were kicked out was after Second World War. They were basically kicked out of Europe in the Middle East. I mean, to the Middle East. At this point, I think that's when the Israelis went like, you know what? The best way to deal with these people is not to negotiate. And I think that's around the same time that the Mossad head of Jeffrey Epstein and blackmailing a bunch of billionaires and politicians. He has a lot of dirty material on them and he was probably extorting money out of them. And that's how he became a billionaire. And the Mossad was like, that's not such a bad idea. You know what? We are going to give even more money if you give us those material and keep making and giving us that material. I think that's how we ended up in a situation where 90% of Western politicians, if you ask them to choose between their country and Israel, they'll choose Israel. I don't think it's a patriotic thing. I think it's more of a blackmail thing. Because clearly halfway through the being kicked off from one century to another, the, you know, the Jews were like, right, these guys don't understand negotiating. The best way to just blackmail the heck out of them and you're good to go. And if you ask me, again, if Whitney Webb and One Nation Under Blackmail, Volume 1 and 2, they're voluminous books, believe me, full of wonderful stories. If those two books are to be believed, if that awesome author is to be believed, then after being kicked out of one country to another for centuries, I don't really understand why the Jews decided, you know what, now we'll just blackmail the heck out of them. Actually, saying the Jews is, that's a misnomer. Because there are a lot of Jewish people that disagree, even within Israel, that disagree with, with the Israeli government is doing to the Palestinians right now, within Israel. You have, again, for the millionth time, every time that I want to read something on Israel, I read Haaretz. That's like, it's like new era for Israel. Because every time I pick any Western newspaper to read about Israel, boy, are they on a butt-licking spree. You can see it from the get-go. I'll give you an example. Russia takes Crimea and the Donbass. And the article there goes something like, I think I have that somewhere, I swear. Oh, no, it's really just something else. When it's someone that have not blackmailed them, it's an act of aggression. How many times do you still hear politicians to this day in the West saying, look, like it was made very apparent this year somewhere around July when Israel launched the first airstrikes in Iran. A preemptive strike. In other words, you looked like you were about to punch me in the face. That's why I punched you before you could punch me type of situation. And then, Iran now retaliated. You know what? Iran was criticized more. Actually, Israel was not criticized. Iran was criticized for fighting back. Huh? That's when I went like, I really want to believe these politicians are stupid, but I'm not that stupid, so I'm not going to believe that because they are not stupid. Something big is at play here. I'm tempted to believe Whitney Webb with the whole blackmail thing because you can't tell me that Israel bombed Iran and no one had a problem with that. But as soon as Iran retaliated, then all of a sudden Iran must stop this nonsense of bombing our only ally in the Middle East. Oh, come on. The first question I asked was, just how bad are those Jeffrey Epstein files? Because they must be diabolical. They must be diabolical. Again, as much as people like to blame Jeffrey Epstein, which believe me, I do, but I like to look at it from a different angle. I like to look at Jeffrey Epstein as a person that was offering a service. And most of these politicians went there to receive this legally and morally questionable service. And that's how they were blackmailed. So, at this point, I read Whitney Webb's One Nation Under Blackmail and go like, I'm taking notes at this point. Not that I'm going to blackmail people. Are you kidding me? Blackmailing rich people? They will put a bounty on your head and the people of deranged guys that will be looking for you, huh? Hey. So, FIFA, guys, FIFA, condemned Russia when Russia started bombing the heck out of Ukraine. It's that article is still on their website. No shame. It's still on their website. We condemn this act of aggression, and we stand with Ukraine. And then Israel starts bombing the heck out of Gaza. We don't participate in politics. We are a sports body. Actually, we will use sport to spread democracy and resolve conflicts through sport. FIFA, since when? That was FIFA and UEFA. That was a joint statement by FIFA and UEFA, by the way. Like, okay. And as if that's disturbing enough. Now let's look at the International Atomic Energy Agency. Yeah. Iran, we need access to your nuclear facilities. Okay, fine, you can have access to my nuclear facilities. But how about Israel's nuclear facilities? What nuclear facilities? So, see? Turns out blackmail works all the time. When I look at the irrationality in the different way of reacting to situations that are somewhat very similar, I can't help but think, yep, the only way this makes sense is someone used Jeffrey Epstein's services and ended up, on Mossad's hard drive. And now he can do anything without risking that information ending up on Facebook, of which everyone will fall off their chair. Quick break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Welcome back. How to deal with politicians. Step one, become a science teacher. Step two, I don't know how Jeffrey Epstein did it, but rise through the ranks of a lot of machine. Step one, let God give you brains. Let God give you brains. Thank you. Because if you leave that out, no, you're cooked. So this recognition of Somaliland, what triggered it? Well, a lot of people have a lot of suspicions, and I have mine. Actually, I don't have mine. I picked a lot of, there are a lot of people that are suspicious, and I'm also sharing their suspicion. Remember, was that back in 2021 when the Americans, landed a bunch, I think there were about 20 Afghani nationalists in South Africa. And, it was even a shock to the South African Ministry of Justice and Ministry of Home Affairs. Why are these guys here? It turns out after 20 years of trying to install democracy and protecting opium in the Middle East, when the US left, they left some of the people they worked with in there. And when the guys that took over, they are not very negotiation friendly. They don't believe in negotiating. Once you are branded a traitor, the only discussion they are going to have with you is which part do they cut when they are separating your head from your body. So to try and make sure that some of their the closest allies or, you know, some of the traitors to their countries and patriots to at least the Americans, they decided to give, to put them on a plane. They went through Qatar. I think they went through Pakistan and found themselves in Zambia or Zimbabwe, if I'm not mistaken. Then they went into South Africa. The Ministry of Home Affairs in South Africa found out and was like, okay, first of all, how the heck did these guys get here? And two, United States of America. This is a continent you guys turned into a country. It's big enough. Can't you just take them? They're about 20. This is where you see that racism in a large part of high society of the Western world runs deep. These are Afghan nationals that literally put their lives on the line to work with them. And they couldn't even say, come to our country? Let me guess. Because they are Muslims. So when you're working with them, you didn't know they were Muslims? Let me guess. Because they are brown. Like, the whole thing screams racism. Like, if I work with you and you treat me like that, we are never working together again. And actually, if that's the history, and the Western world has that history. And the reason why I don't like to make it a race thing is because I know it's a class thing. It's not a race thing. It's a class thing. Again, the history of Australia confirms that. The people that were shipped out of Europe to Australia were not brown. They were white. The only difference between the people that were shipped and the people that did the shipping was economic advantages. The high society, aka the loaded guys, the top 1%, did not want the people that were, that were littering the street. You know why those people were doing that? It's because they didn't have the resources. Where was all the resources that these people needed to live a better life? It was hoarded by the top 1%. See the problem? These guys stole so much resources from their own people. And that was not enough. They had to scour the whole world to steal even more resources. And you'd think that the resources that they are stealing, they would share it with their own people. No, they didn't. They kept it for themselves. And when those people started doing a lot of illegal things, they started, they upped the definition of what constituted criminal behavior so that they can use that as an excuse to send a lot of low-class people to modern-day Australia. That was white on white. So it's not about race as much as it is about class, unfortunately. And it's still the exact same way. A lot of Western world, especially Western media, would make you believe that they're anti-Muslim. But when you look at the multinational companies of the parent companies that own most of these media houses, look at their shareholder. Most of them, now you look at their board of directors and some of them, some of them are Indian, some of them are Arab, some of them are white. So as long as they're on the same class, they don't really care about skin color or religion. That's a poor people thing. It's just us that look at other and at each other and start going, I know you're from this tribe, you're from this religion. But if you look at the anti-immigration sentiment going on in Europe, one thing that you see is that a lot of broke white people think that the reason why they are broke and they don't have all the resources is because of the broke immigrants. Like, the rationality is actually very warped. And my favorite thing, here is my favorite part. My favorite part is that some of these movements are funded by the people that stole the resources from people that are now blaming, and then telling those people to blame immigrants that are also broke over why these people, I swear, I look at these people and go like, you know that whole thing that was perpetuated by white anthropologists in the 1950s and 60s about white people being smarter than black people? You don't need science to prove that now, to prove that wrong now. All you just have to do is look at the anti-immigration movements in Europe and you'll be like, yep, we can all be smart and stupid. Yeah. We can all be smart and dumb. There are smart people and dumb people in all races. You don't need research now on that one. Again, just look at immigration, anti-immigration in Europe. You understand that? Instead of sharing their resources, now, this is how much these guys love money now. If you think you love money, no. Your love for money is kindergarten child's play. Instead of sharing resources with their own people of the same skin color, they put them on ships and ship them to an overseas colony, overseas territory, prison colony. All they had to do was share resources and everyone would be happy. You wanna know who these people are now? They are your foreign direct investors. And for some reason, we all start thinking, now this is the whole continent, by the way. We start thinking, you know what? Instead of sharing resources with their fellow own race, they shipped all of them to a prison colony. They would rather ship their own people than share resources. But I think they changed. It's like a lady running to a girl that almost killed her, and then he went to jail. When he comes out of prison, it's like, he's changed now. Has he? People do change, but the question is, are you sure? Because I'm not. I'm so not. So, my sneaky suspicion on this recognition of Israel, of Somaliland is one. Those Afghans that suspiciously found themselves in Africa through UAE, Pakistan, Zambia, or Zimbabwe, found themselves in South Africa suspiciously. And then this year, I think last month, a plane full of Palestinians land at Oar Tambo. Interesting. The diplomatic uproar, as you can imagine, that came out of that, made the Israeli government go like, plan B. How about? Look, I wouldn't be surprised if I woke up the next day and then read stories of Palestinians in Somaliland. I'd be like, oh, there is the story. Now I can't wait to read about that so that I can just laugh and say, ha, told you, sir. Right. That's sneaky suspicion. And by the way, when Ethiopia recognized Somaliland and Somalia did not have any of it, the US and China, they both called for diplomatic solution to the problem, and they both in a lot of ways sided with the Somalian government. Now this one is interesting one because it is Israel that did the recognizing. China siding with Somalia, I won't be shocked on that one. But Israel really likes to put Western leaders on a spot. You remember, last month or earlier this month, when Israel launched a bomb and then a bunch of bombs and then killed a bunch of people in Lebanon, and one of them did not explode. And Israel came running back to Daddy USA and was like, well, you know those bombs you gave me? Thank you very much. I bombed a bunch of people. But there's a one tiny problem. Those that exploded killed a bunch of people. Excellent. But there's one that did not explode. Did you say that's your private secret technology? Yeah, there's one that did not explode. So if you can just talk to the government of Lebanon to go and get that bomb, to give you a bomb back so you can fix it, so that next time I launch it, it can explode. That would be awesome. Like, you are now a president, and your fellow head of state is coming to you with an idea like that. Like, how am I supposed to maintain a straight face? That's why I can't run for public office. Next! Now you have, this situation now. Oh no, the preemptive strike on Iran. That's another weird situation. And now you have the recognition of, you know, the recognition of Somaliland as a sovereign state. Now, Ethiopia last year did not recognize Somaliland. They made promises to, in due course, if they were given access to, you know, if they were given access to Somaliland's shores. So Israel becomes the first country to recognize Somaliland. African Union is not happy. But don't worry about the African Union. You know, the Israel just very high controls a lot of their benefactors. The EU being on that list, America being on that. You get the picture. Oh, 4 minutes past the hour of ten. Okay, now it's time for me to han heistu. Can't believe I nailed that. Yes. So until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. Y'all stay blessed. Oh, a lot of activities, a lot of consequences. Drive safe. You don't own the road. I know you need to be told that from time to time. And if you, you know, if you're still paying for a car, you don't own that either. So, yes, be humble, okay?